Welcome to this episode of Cook Revivals Presents. Today, Pastor Michael Cook talks about the newness of God in our lives and how to move forward into those things God predestined for your life. Let's go now into this powerful message.
God bless you. Thank you for joining us on this powerful Sunday morning. We're going to continue off where we left off from last Sunday, talking about the newness of God, the newness of our life, the newness of our walk in God, and how 2022 can be so impactful for you and your life. Thank you again for joining us. I'm Pastor Michael, along with the entire Cook Revivals family. Let's jump into Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, I was sitting there and I was meditating on the things of God, and the Holy Spirit dropped into my spirit so strongly, you know, about this year and where we're headed as a body. And I asked God, I stopped and I said, Lord, I don't understand. You know, I've been doing ministry for 30 years and never before in my entire life have I seen the house of God, the body of Christ, in such turmoil the way that it is today. And I don't understand why. And I asked God, I said, I don't want to understand. Lord, last year, last decade, last century was nothing like it is this time. And I said, God, what is happening? What is changing? What is so significant? And the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit this scripture, Romans 12. And he says, again, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And it hit me. I said, man, I get it. I understand now. The problem is not that God has changed. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. God doesn't change. What changes is our perception of the gospel and our perception of our walk with Him. God didn't change. We changed. We've been asking God for newness. God, give me newness. Give me newness. God, change things around. Make things different for me. And what God is saying is I've got an entire treasure trove of treasures waiting up in heaven to be released down upon the earth for your life and your descendants' life. Just like we talked about last week, God gave Abraham a promise. And God gave you the same promise when He engrafted you into the same vine through the blood of Jesus Christ. You came into that same promise, that same state of blessing. But we're still going day by day sitting there saying, you know, where's my blessing, God? Where's my promise? And God the whole time is saying, I'm waiting on you to be renewed and have a newness in you because, oh man, how can you pour new wine in old wineskin, lest the old wineskin burst? And there lies our stumbling block as the body of Christ. We no longer have renewed our mind. We have no longer renewed our spirit. Instead, what has happened is we're relying on the things of old to bring in the new revival in our life. And we can't do that. What will happen is that we will get so overwhelmed. How many have been overwhelmed over the past couple of years? It's not that God has changed. It's that we haven't spent time in His Word anymore. What will happen is that how many of us have gone through, let me take what you know, and you go through your house, and you got a Bible over here that we haven't touched. You got a Bible over here that you could literally take your finger and rub the dust off of it and put your name in it if you wanted to. Because we have not gotten back into the Word of God. We have so relied upon another man or woman to speak into our lives that we have forgot to allow God Himself to speak into us. Come on. We have so allowed somebody else to come along and saying, this is what you need to do. And this is where it's going. Listen, there is a time and a place and a season for everything under the heavens. There's a time and a place and a season for you to get back in the gospel and the Word of God. A prophetic word. And let me teach you something. Again, I've been doing ministry for 30 years. And in those 30 years, I've learned a nugget or two. Let me teach you one of those nuggets today. A prophetic word will help unlock the blessings in your life. A prophetic word will help unlock that miracle. A prophetic word will help break open the heavens so that God can start pouring out, because God said, my word proceedeth. Come on. But even when God released a word to Daniel, Daniel had to wage war in the heavenlies. Come on. He had to pray and fast that word down to the earth, because the enemy was there waging warfare with angels in the heavens to stop the word of God from coming forth. And the only way you can wage war in the heavens today is for us to get back on our face in prayer, to get back on our face in worship, for us to be able to get back into the word of God like we used to be able to proclaim, thus saith the Lord, from our own mouths. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than you guys are talking. Come on. The problem is this. We have gotten so accustomed, and I'm going to use this word, and bear with me now. We as ministers of the gospel, we as men and women of the gospel, we as children of God in this day and age, and I've preached this so many times, but never before have I seen it this rampant as it has been lately. We become such a microwave generation. We are so much relying on others instead of relying on thus saith the Lord in His word. We have become so reliant upon somebody else bringing me out, or somebody else speaking into my life. We have become so reliant that we will now go out and become seekers of the truth. We will go out and we will seek and seek and seek somebody somewhere, some way to come speak into my life, because it is simpler and easier for me to have somebody lay hands on me than it is for me to sit down for a half an hour and open the Bible and get into the Word. And the problem has become that we have become so reliant on other people that we have not become reliant on God. Come on, somebody. We're waiting on God to speak back life into us, but God's waiting on us to speak life back into it ourselves. We're not sitting there. We're still waiting. Come on. We're waiting for God, but God's waiting on us. And all we have to do is get back to our first love. Oh, man, that's a whole nother message. Verse 2 says, and this is one thing I'm going to touch on. We're going to sit here for just a minute. Verse 2 says, let me read this again. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And this is the one gift. Let me tell you something. We teach Elijah Training Center. And during Elijah Training Center, the School of the Prophets, we go through and we expound on all the gifts of the Spirit. We go through all nine gifts, and we'll teach. Prophet Tracy and I will teach all nine gifts of the Spirit. And while we're teaching these gifts, I have said this in every single class, and I'll say it to you right now that are watching. The one gift that is missing in the body of Christ today that we need back more than ever is the gift of discernment. Come on. We are so lacking in the gift of discernment today that we are literally following after a strange fire and not even knowing that it's not of God. Come on, somebody. We're following a strange fire. I often question, you know, what would happen today if a witch was to walk into the house of God? What happened if a witch was to walk into the house of God and start saying, thus saith the Lord? Oh, that can't happen. Yes, it can. Remember Paul? Silas were walking down the streets, and the girl followed him for 3 days saying, come see, these are the most men of the Most High God. These are men of the Most High God. They are doing mighty powerful things. And they followed Paul for 3 days. And finally, Paul got so vexed in his spirit that a discernment kicks in. And he says, you are not of God, but you are a devil. Don't tell me it can't happen. It happened with the Apostle Paul. What would happen today if we're sitting in service and a witch comes out and stands up and starts speaking? Would we sit there and admonish God? Would we praise the Lord? Or would somebody in that service have enough discernment to stand up and say, this is not God. Come on, somebody. If you want to move forward in the renewal of your mind and you want to move forward in the things of God, I admonish you today more than anything, please seek the gift of discernment. Move forward in the gift of discernment and ask God, Lord, what is of you? Where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What is your perfect will, God? Because again, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. Come on, some of us right now are sitting in a place that we think is the will of God, but God never called us there. Good Lord. I am preaching better than some of y'all shouting right now. Some of us are sitting in a place right now that we thought was the will of God because, one, we have either followed man's advice and not God's, two, we have allowed our emotions to get wrapped up within the midst of it, or three, we have refused to find out God on ourselves and relied on other people. Some of us right now are sitting in a place that God never called us to be in. And you're going through trouble and struggles and strife and you don't know why. And God's saying all you got to do is get in my will and out of your own will and then the road will smooth out. Come on. But it's easy. It's easy to do our own thing. And it's even easier to do our own thing and then turn it around and saying, this is where God wants me. I've seen it so many times. I've seen so many men and women of God fall by the wayside simply doing what they thought was God's will versus what was actually God's will. Come on, somebody. The term will of God, and this is dealing with newness. We're talking about newness now. We're going back to the newness of 2022. The term the will of God has at least two biblical meanings. Check this out now. First, there is the sovereign will of God. Say sovereign will of God. The sovereign will of God is the will of God that will always come to pass without fail. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you are, what you're going through, what's taking place. When God said it, boom, there it is. Not one single word of Samuel's fell to the ground. The sovereign will of God will take place without fail. Second, there is the revealed will of God in the Bible. Watch this now. There is the revealed will of God in the Bible. Such things as do not steal, do not lie, do not kill, do not covet, etc., etc. This is the will of God that often does not come to pass. It's the will of God that these things don't take place. It's the will of God that we walk in purity and holiness. It's the will of God that we walk upright in all His ways and set a standard of godliness in our life according to what He has ordained for us. But that will of God doesn't always take place because a lot of the times we'll jump in the way. We'll sit there and start coveting. We'll start lying. We'll start stealing. And God is still sitting back saying, all you have to do is push aside these worldly things and get your mind renewed. Third, and there is a third, is the path of wisdom and spontaneous godliness. Watch this. Wisdom is where we consciously apply the Word of God with our renewed minds to moral circumstance. Watch this now. What will happen is we'll have a renewal of the mind, right? And when that happens, we'll start consciously applying the Word of God that we have put within our spirit to apply towards a moral circumstance that we face daily in life. Come on, somebody. But you can't do that if you don't have the Word of God in your mind. And therein lies the problem. A lot of times we'll face warfare and such tumultuous, you know, problems, existential crises. And we'll say, God, what is happening? You have taken your armor and you have taken your weapons of war and you have laid them down at the altar. You have replaced your weapons of warfare for alternative means. And instead of using the Word of God to fight your battles, you are trying to find every other alternative to fight that battle for you. You can't fight a battle and speak, thus saith the Lord, if you don't have the word within you. You can't fight a battle and speak Matthew 18:19, where we touch and agree that things will be done on earth as in heaven, if you do not have that word bubbling up within you. The Holy Spirit is there to lead you, to guide you, to teach you in all things. And the word of God is there to be your weapon of warfare, dividing rightly, dividing by the word of truth. But we can't do that if within our lives we find ourselves too busy to have a prayer life and a study life. Come on. And that's where we find ourselves. Wanting newness. Wanting a renewal of the mind. Wanting a renewal of the spirit. And find ourselves in anxiety, depression, struggling, trying to figure out where we're headed, what's happening next. And all God is saying, the same thing that He has been saying for millennia. And that is, get in my word, get in prayer, let my spirit renew your mind so that way you can wage war against the devil. He has given you all the tools you need. It's just a matter of whether you're going to pick those tools up and use them to wage war. Come on, somebody. Romans 12:2 says, by the renewal of your mind, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You want a transformation today? God gave you the recipe right there in Romans 12, how to have a complete and total transformation. The problem is do we want the transformation that we want, or do we want the transformation that God called us to have? And there is a difference. A lot of times we'll say, well, I'm going to transform into what I want to be. But did God call you to be that transformation, or did He call you to be like Him? And that's where we run into an issue. We are perfectly useless as Christ-exalting Christians if all we do is conform to the world around us. And unfortunately, I've seen that so many times. What will happen is that we'll get out and we'll give a Shabbat. We'll give a praise. We'll give a Tehillah. We'll get out and we'll snot from the nose and we'll cry. And then we'll go back home in the same struggles, in the same drama that we were, because outside of the church, we have still conformed to the worldliness around us instead of conforming to be like Him. And that's what will take place. The problem is not that you can't transform. The problem is that we won't transform, because the transformation that God's calling us to is not the transformation that we want. Come on. If all we do is conform to the world around us, then we are perfectly useless as Christ-exalting Christians. You can be in the world, but not of the world. So there's a difference. But the problem is today is we've gotten in the world and of the world and all the world, and we're wondering why revival hasn't broke out. Come on. You can't have revival without holiness. You cannot have revival spirit burning and blazing through the churches without holiness, because all you have then is just an emotional experience. Good Lord. Come on, somebody. If you want true transforming revival, it has to be mixed with the Word of God. It has to be mixed with prayer. And it has to be mixed with holiness. Otherwise, the service that you are in, that you think is breaking out in revival, is nothing more than an emotional exclusion of yourself. You're literally finding yourself, because I promise you, you know how you can tell? When you go home and nothing's changed. When you go home and the godliness on you from that service has not rubbed off onto your family. Come on. I remember doing services. Prophet Tracy and I would come back from a service. Now check this out. We'd come back from a service, and in the midst of doing that service, the power of God felt so strong. People were at the altar, laid out on the floor, weeping and crying. People getting delivered left and right. People coming to Christ left and right. miracle signs and wonders taking place, true revival, and we would go home, and literally when we'd walk through the door, the atmosphere of the house would change. We would walk through the door sometimes and family members would just start crying for no reason at all, because the Spirit of God leapt off of our spirit and touched their spirit. We have been revival so many times to where the power of God was so strong that we would walk into houses and people would start being delivered simply from our spirit leaping into their spirit. That's the spirit of revival. That's not emotionalism. That's the power of God coming to transform His body. But we are no longer there because we'd rather feel good than go through the transformation process. And that's why, as the body of Christ, we are suffering today. We are longing for revival. We're asking God, come back to us. Let your fire, God, rain down again on us. But He's not going to do that as long as you still have old wineskin. You cannot put new wine into old wineskin and expect to hold the spirit of revival that God wants to do in these last days. It will not happen. If we want revival today, if we're longing for the power of God to rain back down upon us, it is a necessity that we put away ourselves and wholly give everything back over to Him so that He can renew our mind, transform our spirit, and then usher us into the third great awakening. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than you shouting right now. Come on. The problem lies in the version of transformation, and that's the issue. We want newness without renewing. Oh, man, come on. We want newness in our life without renewing what's already in our life. Let me tell you about the word transformation that's used in the New Testament. And this is powerful. And John Piper said this best. He gave the Greek definition of this word transformation. And I've never seen it like this before. But the word transformation that's used in Romans is the same word metamorphosis. And it was only spoken one other time in the entire New Testament translation, in the Greek version. And that's when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, or the Mountain of Transformation. That's the only other time you'll see that word used. And in the Mount of Transfiguration, y'all know the story, you've read it 1,000 times. He was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became white as light. He was literally transformed into the spirit of revival. And that's what we've been crying out for. That's what we've been longing for. That's what we've been praying for, is the spirit of revival to come back upon us again. But again, our problem, our stumbling block is not God. Our stumbling block is us, because we're not willing to go to that Mount of Transfiguration. Our problem is not God. The problem is that God has set aside a place for us to be able to go and be transformed and transfigured, but we're not willing to do that. I'd had rather sit in a pew and let somebody tell me what I need to do than get into the Word of God and do what I need to do. I'm telling you right now, if you want to see revival, it's going to be at the altars of the church with our faces back down into the carpet, with us changing our mindsets, with us changing our hearts, with us changing our lifestyle. Because if we don't change our lifestyle, then do not expect God to change newness back into your life. Come on. God will not bring newness as long as we are still living like filthy pigs down in the mud pit. Come on. You cannot expect a spirit of revival that changes nations, that changes communities, that changes families, if within that same searching of that spirit of revival, we have yet to change us. How can you change a family member if you ain't changed yourself? Come on. What's going to happen is this, and I've seen it so many times, and it's so sad, and it burdens my heart so much. Is you'll go to church every chance you get, and you'll start, giving your Shabbat, your little two-step praise. And you'll come home and you'll act like the devil. And your family will see that. Your family will see you kicking up and screaming. Your family will see you cussing people out. They'll see you getting angry. They'll see you sinning. They'll see you doing all these things. And you know what's going to happen is that blood is going to be held accountable on your hands. The reason is because you are not drawing them to Christ. You are pushing them so far down the road away from God because they're saying to themselves, if this is what God is about, that I can go to church on a Sunday and praise, but I can come home on a Monday and raise hell and cuss and scream and yell at the children, then I don't want nothing to do with God. And what is going to happen is not only is the spirit of revival not going to be birthed, but you're going to push these people so far away from God that if they don't make it right, you'll be held accountable for those people. That blood will be on your hands simply because you are praising God as a saint on a Sunday, but acting as a devil on a Monday. Come on, somebody. I heard somebody say one time when they were preaching, they said, it's tight, but it's right. It's time that we get back to the fundamentals of the gospel, the things that we have laid down at the side because we don't want to offend somebody. Oh, come on. The gospel in and of itself is offensive because it makes you question who you are in Him so you can transform into who He wants you to be in Him. The gospel is written to be offensive so it would make you and shake you. The gospel is written to be offensive so that way you can come to Him with a new understanding that I can no longer live in this pigsty. I can no longer stay in the mud. My Father has a house waiting for me. Why am I listening, sitting by like the prodigal son in this mud pit when I have an entire inheritance waiting for me? But instead, we think we can do it better. We think that we can make things happen on our own right and we don't have to wait. Darling, there's a time and season to where you will go through that desert place. There's a time and season where you will go through that valley and there is no amount of prayer and there's no amount of fasting that's going to change it. There is something within our character during these times and seasons that God has to work out of our life. There are some type of thing that's going in our life that God said, okay, I see this, and you're saying that you want me to have a renewal of your mind and a transformation in your life, then I need to take you through this process because you can ignite the fires of anointing in your life while this thing still sits in your character. And that's why we go through testing. That's why we go through trials. You want to get through a test and a trial real fast? Seek God's face. Ask Him, what does He want removed out of your life? And work on that. Because when you come out of that, you'll come out of your trial and you'll come out with fire and power and the glory and the anointing of heaven. That's how we make changes. That's how we make transformation. That's how we move into revival. Through those methods. Come on, somebody. Transformation. It's not switching from the to-do list of the flesh to the to-do list of the law. Instead, what it is, transformation is switching to the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 19 through 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, come on. So many times we try to operate and work and flow in the gifts of the Spirit without the fruits of the Spirit. So many times we have watched God move and work and do wonders and we'll say, I want that gift. I want to flow in that gift. Darling, I'm going to tell you right now, man of God, woman of God, if you're watching me today, I'm going to tell you, do not attempt to try to go and flow in any gift of the Spirit without first having the fruit of the Spirit. Because if you do, you'll cause more harm and damage to an individual than what it would be like had you not had the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, compassion, peace, sound mind. But what we've done instead is we've replaced all these things because we have gotten into a me, me, me-centered gospel. Put the spotlight on me, God. Let me be seen, God. I want to do what, and we'll disguise it. And it frustrates me so sometimes because what we'll do is we'll say, we'll disguise the me gospel by saying, I'm just here to do the will of the Lord. I just want to do what God called me to do. But the whole time you're sitting in service and you're eyeing that camera, or you're eyeing that man of God, or that woman of God, and you're saying, I could have said that better. I could have done that better. Lord, if you just give me a chance in front of that camera so I can have thousands of people. It isn't about the thousands. It isn't about the crowd. I don't care if 35,000 people show up at your service, 3,500 people show up at your service, 35 people show up at your service. I don't care if it's you and one other person that shows up at that service. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. It's not about the crowds. It's not about the numbers. It's not about anything other than us coming together and worshiping and magnifying Christ for whom He is. That's what it's about. It's not about numbers. It's about Him. But we have gotten away from Him and put us in place of Him. When we figure out how to put us out of the way again and put Him first and foremost in the center, that's when we'll see revival break out. That's when we'll see change. That's when we'll see families come back together. You have the freedom in your life to make all the choices and decisions upon whatever you want to do or whatever God wants you to do. But I ask you today, before you make any more choices or decisions, take time out. Get on your face and seek God. Get in His Word again. Find out what He has for you in His Word again. You want to see revival? God knows I do. I miss it, man. I miss it. I remember what it was like coming home 2 o'clock in the morning, so drunk in the Spirit, to where it's like, oh my God, the power of God fails so strongly. And I long for those days again. I don't want an emotional service anymore. I've seen enough of them. I've been in enough emotional services. And so have you. I'm pretty sure right now, listening to this, you can think of a few to where you went to service and it seemed like things were breaking, but when you got home, nothing had changed. The true power and the true spirit of revival lies not only in the walls of the building. The true spirit of revival will take place the moment you leave that building and it affects others around you. That's when you know you've been in revival. Revival is not just the transformation within the four walls of a building. Revival is the transformation of people in the neighborhood, the community, the world. When you can walk out of that building and you come in contact with another individual and the presence of God leaps upon them and they start weeping and crying and want to give their life over to Him because of what they're experiencing through your spirit, then, darling, you've been in revival. That's what I want to see come back. That's what I want to see happen again. And it can and it will by the renewing of our mind, by the renewing of our spirit, by shedding off the things of old, shedding off our wants and our desires and replacing them for His wants and His desires. That is what will birth revival. I want to thank you for joining us. If you would, lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, I have delivered your word, God, according to the way you have laid it in my spirit. I ask to God for revival to take place in this nation again, God. I ask for every single person there to be watching on the camera, God. I'm asking you to renew their mind, renew their spirit, God. I pray to God, let a hunger be birthed in their womb once again, to God, to long after you. Let a hunger be birthed in their womb once again, to God, to chase after you. I pray to God, let today mark the beginning of a change in their life, a change in their mindsets, God. I break every mindset that the enemy has placed in their life. I break every chain and bondage that is upon their life right now that is telling them they cannot do this thing, that they are not good enough, that they will never see this take place. The devil is a liar. And I'm telling you today that God's word will come to pass over your life. I'm telling you today that change will take place in your family. I'm telling you today that change will take place in your household, in your finances. As you move in the Spirit of God, and as you start changing your mindsets and working on your heart to move into transfiguration with Christ, changes will start taking place. I thank you to God for hearing our cries. I thank you, God, for hearing our cries of revival in the land. I thank you, God, for moving mightily now in your Spirit and blessing every single one that is watching now. We will give you all the glory, honor, and praise, dear God, for you are worthy and deserving of all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Cook Revivals Presents. If you would like to help support the ministry, please visit cookrevivals.org. Loyal partners, such as yourself, give life to this ministry. We just want to take some time to say how much we appreciate you. Your partnership makes this ministry possible, and we can't say thank you enough. God bless, until next time.